Please turn with me in the Old Testament book of Genesis, and I shall read chapter 18, verses 16 to 33 for us, which are found on Pew Bibles, page number 15. Genesis 18, 16 to 33, and on our Pew Bibles, page 15. When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, or Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. And congregation, you see the B there, so we have a variant there, so that says an ancient Hebrew scribal tradition, but the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Verse 23, "Then Abraham approached him and said, 'Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?' The Lord said, 'If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake.' Then Abraham spoke up again, 'Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the holy city because of 5 people? If I find 45 there,' he said, 'I will not destroy it.' Once again he spoke to him, 'What if only 40 are found there?' He said, 'For the sake of 40, I will not do it.' Then he said, 'May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?' He answered, 'I will not do it if I find 30 there.' Abraham said, 'Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?' He said, 'For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it.' Then he said, 'May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?' He answered, 'For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it.' When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home." The text for this evening is taken from the same pericope or the passage that we have, but verses 17 and 18 and part of 19. So 17 says, "Then the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am going to or what I am about to do, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. Verse 19, for I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. This evening we'll be speaking from this two verses that are focus, 18 and 19. And we will see the entire passage in light of these two very specific Bible verses. But before we do that, let's look to the Lord in prayer once again. Heavenly Father, we ask the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. So when we listen to thy word, there may be enlightenment, blessing, and joy that would be put in our hearts. And nothing may hinder it. The rain outside or the thoughts in our minds or even an Indian accent. So thy name be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was asked to say a few things about my family when we were doing some communication back and forth. We have three children. My wife and the youngest child is here, worshiping with us this evening. He is a preschooler, and the other two children are older. The oldest is a junior in Calvin College, and the girl is a senior in North Point Christian High School on Leonard. I come from India, and a little bit brief story if I would like to share with you. I come from a Christian family with a very godly legacy of great-grandparents. They were educated in America here, went back as missionaries, and started colleges, orphanages, and school. So we have that very godly heritage in a way. But my father, being a son of a pastor and a missionary, did not follow the Lord. And to the point when I was in ninth grade, he decided to leave us. So me, my older brother, and my mother lived in a very poor condition. In fact, a very small house, a 10 by 6 house, and we somehow survived. In the providence of God, all those things turned out to be a blessing later. In 1997, my father gave his life to the Lord, and we rejoice in that fact. I finished my education, started church planting work, and I'm part of Evangelical Reformed Church as one of the ministers. And I also look into the administration of the organization called Mission of Peacemaking, that we train men and women for ministry. We also do a lot of social work. And right now we have 38 churches in Evangelical Reformed Church. And this is my privilege, in fact, privilege for my wife as well, to worship with all of us. Let's go back to the sermon that we have this evening. Now, when you think about the unfolding of God's ways, they are not very easy to understand. When you read this passage, your entire attention would go to Sodom and Gomorrah and their sin, sexual sin, or whatever sin they have. But we forget the promise that is mentioned in verse 18 and 19. And therefore, the whole sermon this evening that I have, the Lord has for us this evening, is not focusing on very much of the scene of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm not going to do a lot there because I think we don't have time to confess the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. We rather should focus on what God is doing with his one man called Abraham, that he has called him out. And he's doing something with this man, Abraham. And therefore, the theme this evening we're going to see is Abrahamic nation is what the Lord is constructing, building. And through that nation, he is expecting two qualities. And those two qualities we are going to discuss this evening in a very brief time that we have together. Now, when we look at Abrahamic nation or the promises that God gave to Abraham time and again, we know in Galatians, Paul writes about it in chapter 3, verse 16, that we are children of Abraham. We also have similar mention of who the children of Abraham are. So all those who have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ in our time or after the church time, the AD time, they all, those who have faith, they have become the children of Abraham. So now the whole issue about shall we call ourselves children of Abraham gets solved, because there is no confusion in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, because Abraham was promised that he will be the father of all nations, plural, many nations. And in this situation that we need to keep it in mind when we go through these two verses this evening, Abraham is father of many nations. And the other side of the whole promise that Abraham received from the Lord is he is also that nation that God is building. So in Abraham, we see that Abrahamic nation. So Abraham is not only the father of nations, but he is that nation that God is creating. So through him, there would be that one nation that would come out. And there are no mysteries anymore, because the Lord has put everything very clearly in his word. There are no surprises. We know that Abrahamic nation is nothing but the church today. It is not something that we are yet to decide what is happening with that nation. So when we say Abrahamic nation is nothing, it's a singular nation, capital N perhaps, is the combination of many nations. I would also like to mention some of the Bible verses here from Book of Revelation. We know, we will not read them, but we know that there was John, when he was writing the Book of Revelation, he saw there are many nations and many different tongues and many different cultures were sitting together, and they were praising God. Praising God means saying hallelujah. You know that word itself means praise the Lord. So when angels sing hallelujah, what do they say? Is nothing but praise the Lord. Praising that Yahweh. Praising Yehovah. I am that I am. And who are these people? This is the Abrahamic nation sitting together as one nation and praising God. So when we look at this passage, we know that there are various things. And the variant that I mentioned in the story, you see this story we have heard many times. But we miss this verse 22, where who was standing before whom? Verse 22 says, then Abraham approached, verse 22 says, the men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. But in the original text, it doesn't say that way. It says the other way. The Lord was standing before Abraham. And these Masorites, those who were given the responsibility to bring this word of God as it is to the next generation. You know, the book of Jude says, handing over the faith to the next generation. That means what you have received, you give it down to the next generation. No mixture, no adulteration of any words. In fact, these people who were transferring all the traditions and everything in writing to the next generation, they used to count the words of every book of Torah and say, these many words are, for example, are in book of Genesis. It is not just the computer science has decided to just do search and we find, oh, these many words are there in book of Genesis. No. It was actually written in the first introductory part of that manuscript, that how many words we are passing on to the next generation. Isn't that beautiful? and with the notes that this particular aspect we have changed for the reason, for an example, Adonai is one of the words that we know is used for Yahweh because of the great commandment that don't take the name of the Lord in vain. So these people who were sitting together, like for an example, the council room, sitting together and saying, but whenever we read his name for no reason, why should we take that name? So change that into other word called Adonai, and Adonai means the name that I am not worthy to pronounce. Adonai means that. So whenever they saw the word Yahweh, they said, the name is mentioned here which I am not worthy to pronounce, Adonai. Well, I'm telling you this background here for a purpose. When they saw this mention of this verse, that God was standing before Abraham, towards the great reverence that they had for the Lord, they decided to change it and make a note that Abraham was standing before God. Now, what does it make sense? What more sensible, who should stand before whom? You know, when the children came here, I felt to go and sit with them and learn something, because definitely I learned one good idea to solve the puzzle, start from the end. I never thought about it before. So something we feel that we need to do that, and we go forward and we add certain things to our own life. And therefore this change of verse was done, that they thought Abraham could be better standing before God than God standing before Abraham. But dear congregation, both the things make sense. To give the reverence to the Lord, we should be standing before him. And he, being very nature God, humbled himself and became Christ who died for us. And you see his humility, he stood before us. So this was the picture. Now we know as a church, but when they were writing the Old Testament and putting things together, they did not understand the Lord that they are so reverently looking at is going to humble himself so much that he's going to come down on earth and be living here as a man. And in fact, dying on the cross, Paul writes that in Philippians 2 and 6 to 11, we read about his humility. Now, last verse in our passage says, when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left. That verse gives us clarity that it was the Lord who decided to stand before him, and when he finished his work, he decided to leave. So that matches. Well, but here is something very important thing coming on Lord's heart. He's thinking about Abraham. How can I hide something from my servant whom I have called, that what I'm going to do with those two towns, Sodom and Gomorrah? And the reason he tells, because he looks at Abraham as a nation. The nation that John will see in book of Revelation praising him. With all those saved people. All those are his. All those who are elected, called out from the world. All those in whom the Holy Spirit would work. All those who would stand against all the ugly things of the world. And they all would be together. And when the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, when the Lord looks at Abraham, he sees that entire nation. In fact, he sees you and me in Abraham when he was standing in front of Abraham. Just imagine the whole Almighty standing before Abraham and looking at him for eternity. And he knows he is looking at that great nation. And then he gives those two qualities of that Abrahamic nation in our text. So those are the two qualities that we are going to focus on. So I should read verse 8. Abraham will surely become great and powerful nation. Now when you think about these two words, great and powerful, the word great has been translated in NIV, but the original, there are other options that we can use. So I have decided to choose a different word than great. Important. So this verse should read this way: Abraham will surely become an important and powerful nation. Word powerful, we will keep that. We do have choices, but we will keep that because when we look into the original text, we have given that liberty to take any other word that we can use if it has the same meaning. So when you say this is the important and powerful nation, but Abraham, the Lord is looking, how can I hide something from this one? Abraham will surely become an important and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. So this nation, just I explained a little bit here, we will not go more into details, but this particular nation is important and powerful. Don't we sometimes feel which nation is going to be more powerful when our Lord Jesus Christ returns? From our side, we think America would be the greatest nation. And from your side here, Americans think we do not know what is going to be the powerful nation. But it is not just the great and powerful nation. That's why I chose the word. God looks at this nation as important and powerful. You know, there are many great kingdoms came and gone. The Babylonians were a great kingdom. The golden kingdom or something like that. There were greater kingdoms in the world, and great word could be actually taking out that real meaning of what was important for God. And therefore we would look at this nation in Abraham was, this is an important and very powerful nation. We can explain those things, go into another 5 to 10 minutes, but I think we understand. So we can just stop there. But then further it says, this, an important and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. So this blessing has been given to this one important and powerful nation, and through that one source, all other nations are going to be blessed. A humanitarian act, World Renew Act, or the act of church being very faithfully serving in the entire humanity with different aspects and not losing their importance, because they are important for God, because God has called them. He would tell them what is right and what is not. They will not tell everybody what is right and what is wrong. It's not pragmatic. It is not something that the world will decide what they should do. They are important in God's eyes because God is telling them what is right. Now when we look at this verse 18, the quality of that nation is not yet mentioned. They are important, they are powerful, but there's just some sort of adjectives are used for what that nation is. But verse 19 gives us something that we're going to talk this evening briefly. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Now let's simplify this verse again. There are very beautiful words mentioned there. And with this one verse, verse 19, you can actually write 5 different verses and they will still mean the same. So that's the joy of knowing the depth of the word of God. But let me say this. I got these 2 qualities that we can decide here based on the verse. There are 2 words which are very important. One is right and the other one is just. So right word could be translated as righteous, and the word just can be just. We don't touch it. So just is sufficient. But the word righteous, these are the 2 qualities of this Abrahamic nation. Word righteous is also not doing the justice here. So we have to think about what is righteousness. And when we think about what is righteousness, somebody has said, righteousness is the quality of relationship between individuals. Righteousness is the quality of between 2 people. Most of the time when we think about righteousness, we think righteousness is the quality between me and my God. No, You know, there is different word the Lord says about our righteousness before God. It's a filthy rag. So that whole story ends there. We don't have any chance to become righteous between us and God. No. So the entire concept, even Calvin very much agrees to this, says this is between two people, two individuals that you come in contact with every day. And two, in a way, there are many people that we meet, but we meet people one at a time. For an example, this evening in the consistory room, we shake hands with each other, and there were two gentlemen put their hands before me together. So I had to choose which one to give first, you know. And I do not know both of them, so nobody was important, so I shook hands. So we meet one person at a time. And everybody you meet once at a time, that's where that righteousness should function. And therefore, I decided to go into 3-4 different dictionaries to find meaning for the word righteous. You know, the Hebrew word for it is there. No need to mention. Sadiq, perhaps. But the meaning of that verse, the word, could be translated as community loyalty. Community loyalty. So one of the quality of Abrahamic nation is community loyalty. Now I need to be a little bit clear here. I'm not talking about racism. Oh, community loyalty, that means I need to be loyal to my own community. Yes, you have to, we have to. But that community is a mix of all nations. You see that? That one community that you need to be loyal to is the community which is pluralistic. That's what the Lord is looking at Abraham, and he says, this man is going to be the father of that nation which has two qualities. They would be having community loyalty. That's how biblical translation could be of the word righteous. Community loyalty, and the second one is justice. Now, Abraham is standing, God is standing, there is a lot of interaction going on, and I do not know if there is any significance for those 50, 45, 30, 35, 20, 10. I do not know what significance this could be. But being in academics, I would say if you get 50 out of 100, you're already failed. So Abraham starts with the failing grade. He knows it's nothing in there to talk about. But Lord, if we all are failed, would you save us? That's the basic thing. And how failure we are, he says, the 50 fail F grade, you cannot pass the course. If there are people who will not pass the grade, would you save them? That is the question Abraham is asking. You know why I feel that way? Because Abraham has seen a lot in his life. And one thing he has understood about this big God, that he would not make mistakes. And when he says, I have heard something, and I am going there and going to see if that is what I have heard is right, it is not, Abraham is not thinking, Lord, you got a wrong channel on your TV that you heard wrong things. So Lord says, I do not know the newspaper that I read this morning in heaven. Let me go back and check if that is true. Abraham is looking at God, deeply thinking, the person that I'm talking and the person who is talking with me is a wise God. And if he has said what he has heard and he says, go there and I will see, there is a deeper meaning in it. One thing very clear, that there is no hope for these people now. Because he's going to see, and that's what he heard is not by the third person. Very imminently he knows the things when we pray, when we don't pray, when we sin, when we rejoice, when we praise. Immediately he knows all those things. And when we think about that understanding of Abraham before God, he knows something very dangerous, the terrible thing is going to happen, and he decides to act as a father of nations. He decides to act as a father of... This is a training going on for Abraham. Abraham, In God, in his mind, thinks, I will tell this man because he's going to be the father of nations. Abraham, I'm going to destroy this people. And the Lord is quiet. The feelings in Abraham's heart, the Lord knows, because I have called him father, what would father do? Would you say, my children, that is the request, it will come out. If somebody comes to me and he says, I'm going to Calvin College, I'm going to select the juniors and punish them. In me, my pastoral office will not kick up because I'm a pastor of a particular church, so I can ask a theological question. But my father's office in my heart would kick up and I would say, would you save my son directly instead of arguing 50, 40, anything? Abraham's father's office that God has given to him kicked off, and he started talking about his children who will not pass any test. You see? Well, that's the pleading Lord Jesus Christ did for you and me. Lord, could you take this cup away from me? Because I know there is nothing righteous going to happen here. Everybody is gone. My 3.5 years of ministry and 33 years of walking around and discussing, explaining to the high priest and everybody, nobody understands. Oh, unfaithful generation. He finally cries, looking at Jerusalem. Nobody understands. Lord, can you take this cup from me? I do not know what would come out of this. Don't we see the same fatherly Abrahamic thing happening to our Lord Jesus Christ as well? And what the Lord says? Another lesson to Abraham. Abraham, even if there are 10, I would spare them. And Abraham in his heart says, the Lord knows what is right. Even if everybody is destroyed, he is able to call those who have been dead from their death to life. So Abraham was prepared to believe that there would be certain children of Abraham would be raised to life and will be saved. Now, why I say that? Because, you know, when somebody commits crime against some other person, the last wish of that person to die is, somebody should have mercy on me, and they die. So who knows? When the fire comes on the Sodom and Gomorrah, the last thing that may come to these people and may convince them, and somebody may say, Lord, have mercy on us and may be saved. So we shouldn't question that part. In fact, therefore, Abraham left and he said, death is not the end of God's people. Some people who are very godly but die in accident. Some people who are very godly but they've been sent to fight the battle for the nation and their news comes back to the family that the person is no more. And we know we have only the Christians, only the church has that hope that we will see them again because our God is merciful and he knows his people and none of his would be snatched out from his hand. Abrahamic nation knows this very well. And therefore, there is first very greater quality of having that community loyalty comes up very strongly, which was not there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was staying in their community, the Lot that we just heard, the nephew of Abraham, but the community never accepted him. Lot decided to be more sinful, saying, okay, take my 2 daughters, but spare my guests. But this community was not having any community loyalty towards this nephew of Abraham. They did not understand. Do you know in chapter 14, Abraham rescues Lot from the attack, and while he was rescuing Lot, he also rescued the king of Sodom. And therefore, another reason I feel, when he was rescued, Sodom said, the king of Sodom said to Abraham, that give your men to me and I will give you wealth. That's a very beautiful verse there. Abraham says, I would not take anything from you. I have rescued you, king of Sodom. I will not take anything from you. My men, 318 men fought for this battle to rescue Lot and the king of Sodom. He says, those men who fought with me, they deserve something and they will take, but not me, because nobody in future would say the king of Sodom made Abraham rich. That's our testimony. We help each other as a community loyalty, but not that I would say that I made you rich. And when you help us or anybody, nobody would say that you made us rich. Why? Because we are one, and that's where the community loyalty should be understood very well. That's the first quality of Abrahamic nation. That's why we have missions. That's why we have people from different nations coming to different nations and studying together. Another quality that the Abrahamic nation is to have is justice. And this is a very short point here. You see that there was nobody just in Sodom and Gomorrah. But the blood of the dead people cries unto the Lord, and therefore even if they kill somebody, the blood cries and the Lord listens to it. In book of Genesis, when Cain killed Abel, the Lord comes back to Cain and says, your brother's blood is crying out to me. In book of Exodus, the Egyptians killed each other, and the blood of the Egyptians who were killing the Hebrews, that groaning has reached to the Lord. And similar thing is happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. People were oppressed. There was no justice. And that unjust thing that was happening there was crying for justice. So the justice is something that was lacking in Sodom and Gomorrah. And therefore, Abraham thinks complete picture of this nation. What was asked Abraham in the promise? That you will be father of all the nations, but your responsibility is to teach them. And Abraham might be thinking, I failed to teach them. I rescued their king. My nephew was there. I spoke with them so many good things that don't give me your money because my Lord would make me rich. I told them all the philosophy. In fact, I don't hesitate to say that Abraham had his best try to change Sodom and Gomorrah. And therefore he decided not to stay there. He stayed in Mamre up there, in tent. He did not build house yet. When we look at all these things, Abraham did fulfill his responsibility. But they did not understand. Now let's come to the conclusion of this point. You know, when you talk about the community loyalty, we need to think three things always. First, this community loyalty should be faith-based, not the racism. It should be faith-based. Second thing, it should be covenantal. We should understand that the covenant God has made is made for nations. And all those nations selectively would be made one nation. And the third thing about community loyalty should be, it should be blood-based. Don't forget your own people first. So these three things for community loyalty are very necessary. And for justice, again, three things. When we have anything to do with justice or making some judgment against somebody, it should be done to restore the person back. You know, the excommunication is done so person may be again open for gospel and he may come back to the Lord. Justice is never done just for the sake of punishment. Even the capital punishment is done in such a way that even one who is going through the death would understand that he was wrong. And in the last minute of his death, who knows, the Lord may save them. So when we talk about the justice, it should be always with the idea that we're going to restore something. First is restoration. Second, we need to learn to trust the Lord when we do some justice, not our own understanding. You know, sometimes we make judgment about our neighbor, our relative, our friend, our teacher, our boss. So when we do that justice, we may be right to say something wrong about somebody. Most of the time we are not right, but let's say we are right. But in doing that, we should always think that we need to trust the Lord more. Therefore, you tell what something wrong has happened to you, but don't plan any revenge. Because vengeance are mine, says the Lord. And the third thing about justice that we never should forget, it is we are important nation. And therefore we need to be just. We are a powerful nation. And therefore we need to be just. Because the world would not be ruled by wicked, but the righteous one. And there is only one righteous one who is really leading and ruling this world, is our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And therefore our justice should always look at that aspect, that we are important. To conclude this message, dear brothers and sisters, we are that Abrahamic nation. And we should have those two qualities in Christ alone and for His glory alone. And therefore we say, all glory to God alone. Come, let's pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, bless this congregation with these two qualities. Bless all of us together that we may have community loyalty and justice. To prove, to witness Christ and show the world that we are covenant people, the Abrahamic nation. In Jesus' name, Amen.